cursing and swearing about products of the oil sands coming to California. As Pogo said, we've seen the enemy and he is us.
This Monday, July 7th, Locus Focus presents a special presentation of a new documentary by Barbara Bernstein. Fighting Goliath is a story about the frenetic exploitation of the Canadian tar sands and its rippling effects across the continent. Tune in on Monday, July 7th from 10 to 11 a.m. to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River, 104.3 FM Corvallis, or listen online at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Ava Lake interviews artist Teresa Vile, who has a portrait project called Because She Cares, paintings of women nonprofit leaders. One of her portraits is of KBOO's co-manager, Monica Beamer. Stay tuned for Stage and Studio with host D-May Roberts. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, From Our Hands to Yours, celebrating 41 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March 1st through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Can be calculated using standard techniques applied in a non-standard way.
I'm D-May Roberts, Stage and Studio. We're listening to music by Roland Toledo for his upcoming performance at Conduit's Dance Plus Performance Festival. It runs 2 weekends. It's curated multi-discipline dance with veterans and emerging performers. Also in the show, we'll hear an audio art piece from Eric Ambers, a recent graduate of Mount Hood Community College's Integrated Media Program. Ambers tells us the story behind the quilt his grandmother gave him. Stay tuned. This is Stage and Studio. I'm D-May Roberts here with Terry Mathern, and she's in my home studio here, and welcome, and thanks for coming down.
Well, thanks, D-May. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about Conduit and then Dance Plus.
Well, let's start with Conduit, because I just didn't realize that you guys were having the 20th anniversary. When is the official anniversary date?
The official date is in August, but we generally celebrate during the year, anytime. Spring has been a general celebration for our birthdays. But yes, it's quite unbelievable that we are going to be 20 years of really doing pretty much the same sorts of things of really promoting contemporary dance in the community.
Well, let's start from the beginning then. Wow, 20 years in August, but yes, the whole year is your anniversary year. So how did Conduit begin? Because it seemed to me, just in the history of following you guys for a while now, that it started by women.
Pretty much. The six core artists, actually it was started with by Mary Oslin and Linda K. Johnson, who co-founded it and invited then a collective of artists in to sort of run the organization as a collective, do their work, teach. And that included Keith Goodman, that included Michael Menger, and Greg Bielmeyer. So there are really three men and three women, including myself then, as a sixth one who came in. The women were always the ones doing a lot of the administrative, a lot of the organizational work, though, I'd have to say.
Really doing all the kind of painful running of the place kind of stuff.
That's right. The day-to-day needs of running a space and of organizing schedules and getting people together and all of that, yeah.
Well, it seems like Conduit has been true to its name, which has been as a conduit between the venue and the dancer, and offering really a home for a lot of independent dance in Portland.
Definitely. The idea around Conduit is that it's sort of a place where, you know, energy is created in a way, sort of things are connected together through the conduit, that art and people pass through, so the space is really important. It's sort of been a hub for contemporary dance over time. and has been a home base for a lot of the artists in the who have grown up and started their own spaces even in Portland. So
at what point did you become the artistic director and the person who's doing the nuts and bolts every day running of the space and conduit?
Well, that was probably about 2010. Mary and I co-directed for many years. We started the organization as a nonprofit organization in 2001. And sort of it became a little more community-based at that point. And then in 2010, Mary needed to step down, and so I took over the reins as artistic director.
And so you've been running a lot of new programs, too, and one of them is the Summerfest, the Summer Festival. Do you want to tell us just an overview of how that began and what you're trying to do every summer?
So yes, the Dance Plus Performance Festival, this is the third year. It's really exciting. It really started as developed out of the community saying, we really don't have any opportunities to be presented in Portland as a dance community. So there was just very few sort of stepping stones to being produced at a larger venue or in a larger presentation series. And that was odd for a city with so many artists in this size that we decided that it would be proper for Conduit to step up to that and offer this opportunity for artists to be presented. It's a curated season or series. Each year we've presented between 7 and 9 artists in different projects. It's over 2 weekends. Each weekend is a different series of artists. The idea of Dance Plus is to really highlight the hybrid and inventive nature of contemporary and modern dance. And so we really wanted to cultivate that idea of collaboration with artists, which is a trend that has been happening in contemporary dance for a while, but really has become really important in the field.
Are they mostly Portland artists, or are they from elsewhere? Are they from all over? And it seems like there's a combination of names that I've heard of some folks and some folks that are newer to the scene.
Yeah, it's great because it's an application-based process with a panel that goes over and reviews the applications and selects them. Each year a different panel is invited in. So we started with really a focus on Portland and Portland and sort of regional artists, not just Portland-based, but maybe, you know, outlying areas, but really focusing on Oregon artists. However, word got out, and so people from LA have applied, New York, Texas, Ohio, or Seattle, definitely. And so each year we've ended up including some of those artists. This year we have Anna Connor from Seattle and Kyle Marshall from New York City. But most of the others are Portland-based. Some of them are artists have been seen at Conduit before. Many of them, as you say, are new, just coming into the scene. So this is a great opportunity.
So it's a great mix of people. And so when you make that decision, you obviously must view their applications, you view their videos, what goes into selecting it, though? Because it seems like even more so today, there's a broader definition of what makes a dance.
That's true. It's, you know, the boundaries of what is dance and what is theater and experimental works are sort of merging and folding in each other. But what we look for is that dance needs to be a major core part of the artistic process and the performance, but it may include anything else. So we've got sculpturists working with film people. We have sound artists actually putting in an application as a sound artist that is bringing in dancers to work on a project in which he is really the lead. So that's a unique manifestation. But what goes into selecting is really innovation, dance at the core, and kind of a sort of the level of the quality of the work that's shown in the videos as samples and so forth. It's fairly similar to any other kind of review, but innovation is definitely a part of it. And the idea is also to include both mature and emerging artists. So there's a mix. And that way there's this sense of raising the bar and seeing that you're in a production in which there's just high level of work being done both you know, by young artists and by older artists or people who have, you know, been doing it for a while. And also the idea is to really raise the visibility of the Portland dance artists and the region's artists, kind of highlight what's out there by creating this curated show that really focuses on that.
It sounds like, to me, having served on grants panels, that is very similar to what a grants panel review is.
Yes, you know, we try to make it simple for the artists. You know, they really just describe the project they're going to do, what their artistic sort of vision is, like what are they about artistically, and provide samples and, you know, sort of just basic information about their work, so that it's really a description of their artistic work and samples to sort of back that up. And, you know, that is, I think, really what should be looked at in terms of how you decide what should be in a program. But I think really creating a diversity is also important, of works of different styles and different backgrounds. So that's really important.
You've put so much thought into it. Now, do people actually have to pay their own way? I'm not sure how some of these festivals work, or do you actually get funding to help with the costs?
It's totally, we get funding. The artists receive a small commission fee between $600 and $800, which is actually pretty substantial for this kind of a festival. So we're really proud of that. They also receive some space, called a space grant, which we fund, we have been funding through Conduit's wonderful gift from the Robert Rauschenberg Foundation seed grant that we received a few years ago. So that's been able to provide us the ability to give out these space grants that allow the artists to explore the work and in the space in which it's going to be performed.
Well, that's great, because quite often with dance, especially, well, in theater too, you really do need a place to work. You really do, to create your work.
That's right. And actually, that's sort of the foundation of what Conduit is about, is to be this space that is dedicated to dancers being able to create their work, to train, and to perform.
So you've got two different festivals happening, essentially, as part of the festival, two different weekends. Mm-hmm. And the first is July 10th through the 12th, and then the second one is July 17th through the 19th. And you've indicated some a great mix of people. Are there a couple of highlights you want to give us?
Well, let's see. One interesting project is Jen Hackworth's project with Megan Gilligan, who is a photographer, but in this case, she's also a sculptor. And they're producing or presenting a work that's called Second Skin, in which Jen is embodying these wearable sculptures that Megan has created.
A wearable sculpture?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, I've seen, you'll see some of the, on the marketing that we have for Conduits for the Dance
Plus. Oh, but, you know, for our audience, they can't see it right now.
That's
so
right.
How would you describe that?
Well, there are these kind of sculptures in which there's sort of a place where you can slip your body into it, such as, you know, an arm area or something.
I love the way you're moving right now. I wish people could see that.
Yeah, or there's something that actually you can just put on and it just covers you in a certain, like a spiral around your body in one case.
Wow.
So that those objects obviously influence and limit and make the movement very different, and they become otherworldly to some degree as well. So I'm really, really looking forward to that project.
And now, who is that?
That's Jen Hackworth
Jen
and
Hackworth.
Megan Gilligan.
Okay.
I already spoke a little bit about the sound artist, Roland Toledo, whose work is he's working with two Buto artists, which he's creating this immersive soundscape in which the performers will be interacting basically with the sound. Let's see.
And then on July 17th through the 19th.
We have a couple of films works coming into our project, into the program. In the second weekend, Christopher Petticoat and Lindsay Mathis are doing creating a dance film. So it's not a live performance. It'll be a film created specifically for this Dance Plus. Zara Bonzi is working with a lighting designer or a lighting artist, to create a work that kind of highlights lighting, shadows, that kind of thing. And let's see, Michi Chavez is also a Budo artist, and he's created a duet for two of these Budo artists who have been studying with him.
Sounds like a great mix. It's just, it's very multidisciplinary.
Extremely. I think they've all really sort of come to the table with some really interesting ideas, trying to involve local artists as much as possible. Radical Child, which is Alexander Donas, and his work involves all music that's from a local band. So, and the film, Lindsay Mathis is trying to work with a fashion designer to create the actual costumes that would be in the film.
Wow, what a great mix. And, you know, people can find out more about it at conduit-pdx.org at their website or on stageandstudio.org. In the meantime, I'm wondering, what is the future for Conduit? It's been going, you know, for almost 20 years. And what do you project in the future? Any long-range plans?
Well, we're really just focusing at this point on planning a really fun 2020 event. We're calling, or tentatively we're thinking about it as 2020, 20 days for 20 years in the next year. But
when is that going to be happening? Is that the August event then?
We are thinking that it will happen in the spring.
You really want to plan it. You want it to be a big bash.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. We want to have community events, community dance classes. We want to have a range of activities throughout these 20 days that culminates in, you know, a big celebration and performances. So we're starting the planning for that right now. And so if anybody would like to be part of that planning, please give us a call. But it's going to be very, very fun. But the future, you know, the future is to really build a stronger, sustainable place that, you know, for dance in this city. It's long. We've been doing this for 20 years, but there's so much more that the city can really use to create a vibrant, even more vibrant, lively dance community. So we're just looking to keep that going.
Sounds like to me that you're very much and have been very much embracing community in everything that you do, whether it's a particular dance performance or just the way you plan things, just the way you solicit work and curate work. It seems like you're very much, you know, dance has been moving towards more and more, especially contemporary dance has been moving more and more towards multidisciplinary work, but also that whole social engagement thing that's so, you know, it's so prevalent right now, but it seems like contemporary dance has been very much, especially Conduit to me, has been very much about engaging people right off the bat.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. I think that we've always really wanted to create an environment where people feel really engaged and have the opportunity to talk to artists, to find out about the process, to we have had a series called Dance Uncovered, you know, to just sort of uncover what is choreography, how do you make dance, what is that about, to give people a way in to see work that is sometimes abstract, sometimes storytelling, sometimes it's so many different ways to move into viewing dance.
It seems like it's less on a pedestal too. You know, it's like, that's it's right. Not, it's like, that's here, right. Let's put this on, you know, on in a museum somewhere, or not to put down museums, but just, you know, the removal of the fourth wall seems to be something that's very important to Conduit.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head with that, because the space is really special in that way. There's something very wonderful about viewing dance up close like that. It's a studio theater, but there's also something really warm and wonderful about the space itself. It's old architecture. The fact that it has sort of this really, it's a building built in 1910, I believe, that it really has a history in Portland, that it's had a history of dance in it, whether it's been ballroom dance or contemporary dance over, you know, the 100 years that it's been there. So there's something really, really engaging about the studio itself as well.
It's in the old Pythian building, right?
Right, right.
Right downtown on 10th and Yamhill?
Yes. On Yamhill.
Yeah. right? Yeah, that's been around for, you know, like you said, over 100 years, and it seems like it's still going strong. It's still like a hub of artistry there. You know, there's a lot of events there that take place with Conduit, but with other organizations too.
That's true. There's some multi-event building. There's many things going on at any one time, yeah.
Well, Terry Mather, thanks so much for dropping by and visiting, and congratulations on the 20th anniversary of Conduit.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That was Terry Mather, Artistic Director of Conduit Dance. The Dance Plus Festival opens on 2 weekends. The first weekend of shows also features the music of Todd Barton, former resident composer at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. That show runs July 10th through the 12th. The second weekend of shows runs July 17th through the 19th. All shows are at Conduit Dance, located at 918 Southwest Yamhill, on the fourth floor in the Pythian Building in Portland. For more info, visit conduitdance-pdx.org. You can also visit stageandstudio.org, where I have a complete schedule and links and photos. Next up, another installment of our summer series of original audio stories from recent graduates at Mount Hood Community College's Integrated Media Program. This one is by Eric Ambers. He offers us his personal piece about the story behind the quilt his grandmother gave him. Sylvia June Price, born in Serverville, Tennessee, was a wife and a mother of 11 children before she passed in 2006. She was the kind of grandmother who made things for her grandkids. One could always expect homemade jam and Christmas. She also made quilts. A quilt she made for Eric Ambers had patches from Star Wars, the science fiction movie from 1977. It was doubtful that Sylvia ever saw that movie. Ambers wanted to find out why his grandmother sewed him that quilt.
Anything worse than unanswered questions are unquestioned answers. A piece of wisdom that grandmother Sylvia June Price shared with my Aunt Kathy. Grandma touched a lot of lives. She was quiet and strong, her hands wrinkled and gentle. Aunt Kathy shares one of Grandma's characteristics.
The thing about Mom that was incredible was her enduring peace. No matter what life dealt her, no matter what difficulties she came across in her life, she accepted them, she dealt with them, and she moved on. And even when she was going through tribulations and trials, there was a time in her life when she was pregnant. She was at home. She had many small children playing in the yard. And one of her children, the 6-year-old, my brother, went out into the street and was hit by a car. And I read the letter that my mother wrote about this time, and she speaks about going into the street, kneeling down, touching his forehead, and it felt like a bag of shattered glass. But he looked at her just before he died, and he died in peace. And she takes that with her everywhere she goes. As an adult in life, I knew that my mother had gone through a lot of difficult times. I can never even begin to comprehend what it would be like to lose a child, let alone to lose a child in such a dramatic fashion. Yet you never saw her upset. She never raised her voice in anger. She never got angry. It is an incredible thing that I felt my mother had the ability to find peace in any situation.
Grandma passed away in 2006. It affected the family profoundly. Our champion, our matriarch, had gone home. After the funeral, I was invited to come by my grandparents' house to pick out a keepsake to remember Grandma by. For some reason or another, I never went. A few years ago, I was given a quilt by my mother that Grandma had made. On the back of it, swirling lime green vines. The front has patches of flowers, some solid patches, and Star Wars. I always wondered why she put the Star Wars in. Was Grandma a fan of pop culture and I didn't know it? Was she a fan of Star Wars? Why were these patches here? I talked to some of my aunts to find out what they thought.
I don't think Mom ever thought in terms of pop culture. If you had said the words to her, Mom, are you into pop culture? She would have looked at you and said, what do you mean?
She was aware of what everyone liked. Then she would make the quilt and put things in there that she knew they would like or appreciate. So I don't think it was an accident.
And she always had extra pieces of material. And she used a lot of that, but she would use that as filler around the outside edges a lot of time. And put like the Star Wars in, or the dinosaurs in, or cats, or whoever she's making it for.
So she would also look for those, she'd have to look for those things, the Star Wars or whatever it was, and possibly, you know, some of her kids would give her some of the clothes or something that someone in the family had that was related, you know, that somebody might have had a shirt that had Star Wars or something, and she would, you know, they would give it to her to help make the quilt. That's, you know, because she wouldn't just have Star Wars material handy.
I remember receiving a box in the late 70s from Grandma with blankets and quilts, and the Star Wars quilt was amongst these. I wondered why we got this quilt.
She would pick out specific things and put in quilts that she would make. Since you said you received it in a box, then I would think it would be specifically for you or Tony, and that one of you was very into Star Wars.
I can imagine my grandma's hands, wrinkled and gentle, taking the time to sew together a quilt for someone in her family who she loved very much. My brother Tony would have been in his mid-teens, and I would have been around 5 or 6, so it would make sense that the quilt was meant for him.
I remember there were times when life was just so difficult for me, and it was so hard, and I would call her up and I would be looking for Mom to give me some sympathy and make me feel better. And what she would share with me was the story of the life's quilt. Every day we add lines to it, we add pieces of cloth, we add colors of thread. And she said that we were always creating this quilt, but we never got to see the entire picture. That it was only at the end of our life that we could turn around and see the wonderful beauty of the life that we had created. And that the dark times in our life, the times that were very difficult, were dark threads and dark pieces of cloth that were woven into our quilt that would then contrast against the light and the beauty, so that when we finished at the end of our life and we saw the quilt that we had created, the darkness would make sense, that we couldn't have the beauty and the light of the quilt without the dark threads that ran through it.
I'm Eric Ambers, for My Grandma and the Quilt.
That audio piece was produced by Eric Ambers, recent graduate at Mount Hood Community College's Integrated Media Program. I'll have this show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as the podcast on iTunes. Also, like us on facebook.com/stage_studio. You can also tweet me at @StageNStudio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We'll go out with more music by Roland Toledo for his upcoming performance at the Dance Plus Performance Festival at Conduit.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the second annual Debtors Assembly Portland on Saturday, July 12th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Holiday Park, located at Northeast 11th and Holiday near the Lloyd Center MAX stop. Hosted by Strike Debt Portland, the Debtors Assembly will be a public gathering of neighbors and community leaders, seeing debt in a new way. 1 of Social Justice. Experts will speak on how the debt industries work and how they enable poverty and wealth inequality. And finally, organizers will lead group conversation on building creative ideas for local collective resistance against unjust debts. Again, that's Saturday, July 12th at 3 p.m. in Holiday Park. More information may be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're tuned to KBOO Portland 90.7. Up next is Art Focus with host Ava Lake. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from B Space Movement and Expressive Arts Studio, hosting the Life Art Being Integrative Arts Festival, a week of practicing presence with the self, the body, and earth, July 7th through 12th at B Space and Portlandia Shambhala Center. Life Art Being includes authentic movement, Shambhala art, deep ecology practices, and more. Information at b-space.org/lifeartbeing.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream. Hang him on.
Good morning. Thanks so much for listening to Art Focus. My name is Ava Lake. Hi, how are you today? Today I have with me a guest who has an exhibition. It's actually a project that's been going on for a while and will continue. Exhibitions are kind of splintered off too, like there might be parts here and there. For instance, I know that there's some that's happening at the Outside Inn right now and also at the Friendly House in Northwest Portland. My guest today is Teresa Weil, and the show is called Because She Cares, yes?
Yes, it is.
And do you have, just for the listener, you have a website for this?
Sure.
Where can they find information?
It's becausheshecares.org.
All right, easy. And well, it's a portrait project, yes?
Yes. It was kind of a philanthropic project.